This is Books and Arts on RN. I'm Michael Cathcart, where it's time now for episode 7 of Fun Employed. Well, being an artist, you might think it sounds like a perpetual holiday, kicking back with your easel or your guitar or your laptop, indulging in all that creativity. But for professional artists, the reality can be starkly different. They can find themselves running a small business, the small business of themselves, burning the iPhone 24 hours a day. Writer and musician Justin Hazelwood says that burnout is extremely common in the art sector, especially among mid-career, middle-aged artists. In today's episode of Fun Employed, Justin explores his own workaholism with confessions from Gareth Lydiard of The Drones, satirist John Safran, and playwright Lally Katz. And a warning, strong language lies ahead.
The tabloid cliché of the bludger artist couldn't be further from the truth. In reality, most artists work two jobs while pouring thousands of unpaid hours into their art. The result is an erratic schedule that leaves little time for holidays, relationships, or personal well-being. While the flesh is willing, the spirit will weaken as a creative approaches their burnout point. There is no convenient way to find it. When it arrives, it raises a hard question. What to do when your passion feels just like work? Musician Gareth Lydiard of The Drones.
It is strange. It is really weird to go from sitting on a laptop emailing, I don't know, backline companies or this, that and the other, you know, management. I mean, your publicist or this or that, and then to go and try and write a song, which doesn't suck, you know? That's a really weird flip.
Yeah, that's a lot of lever shifting.
Yeah. It's an odd sensation. You could really feel this thing in your brain. It's almost like a physical thing going on. Yeah. It would be really gross to see if you could see inside my skull. She got David Bowie eyes. One is green and one is blue.
I'm sure one of his is brown, but what can I do? I actually find the whole process of sitting down to write, particularly lyric writing, arduous.
Singer-songwriter Jen Clower.
I don't enjoy it. I don't sort of skip down to the table each morning and go, yay, I get to write some more shit lyrics today. You know, it's more that thing where I just go, if I don't do this, then I won't have any songs and then I won't play and then I won't be an artist playing music anymore. And I love doing that, so I'm prepared to sit through those times, you know, where I feel creatively, you know, dry or like I'm not vibing, and that's most of the time, you know. And then occasionally, I don't know if you find this, you might be at the end of an hour of working, you know, the last 5 minutes, and you have this great idea. So you just can't know when something's going to kind of make sense or drop in. You just have to show up.
In 2010, I began working with a new manager, publicist, and booking agent in the hope that this would ease my workload. Having had my trust broken by managers before, I was reluctant to relinquish control, and so essentially co-managed myself. It was a compromise that ended up creating more work than it saved. I'd evolved my one-man operation into a mini-bureaucracy. With the purchase of a smartphone, I was now officially on call 24/7. I'd spend my days working, my evenings analysing my career with my partner, my social time with my bandmates, and my rest time thinking about what I had to do the next day. It wasn't unusual to find me nude at the desk at 1 a.m, bashing out a response to my manager. I was a remorseless achievement machine, ticking boxes and crossing lines. Writer Clem Basto and poet Emily Zoe Baker discuss life as a freelancer.
I think I get up, you know, 7. I'm usually out of bed by 8, and I'm on the email straight away, and it doesn't stop until I shut my computer. I'm not one of those people who can shut the Gmail tab when the internet's on. And I think iPhones and things like that have kind of exacerbated that sense of being always available.
Is that a healthy thing?
Probably not. Because the thing is, I remember when smartphones first came out and I thought, this is fantastic. I don't have to be chained to my desk in case an email comes through. But the reality is, that mythical email from an editor who wants to give you a 10,000-word essay never, it doesn't exist. You know, you're not really missing anything by not being constantly connected to work. But it's really, it's an insidious thing. It's hard to let that go.
It's very addictive, and I find I'm cradling my phone in my in the cup, my cupped hand, constantly refreshing Gmail because you know, I mean, particularly for someone who does work for weird, magical, diamond-like opportunities that don't exist, when they do happen to come along, you've got to like scratch for them and really kind of grab at them straight away.
Yeah, straight away is a big thing. I got an email last week from one of my editors, and it was an interview offer. And I, when I got it, it said sent 45 minutes ago. And I thought, God, somebody else has already taken it. Like, I bet this is already gone. It had, thank God it hadn't. But that's the kind of level of anxiety that you're working at.
Five, four, three, two, one, zero.
I discovered my burnout point in 2009. In the space of 12 months, I wrote and performed a new comedy show, recorded an album, launched another with a national tour, shot two music clips, acted in a TV series, wrote two magazine columns, all while hosting a weekly sketch radio show. The only break that year was my arm, as I was car-doored on my bike. With no concept of taking time off or refilling the tank, I capped off the year by performing a December residency at the Toff in town. Still self-managing, I arrived hours early to decorate the stage, organise merch, and remonstrate with the venue about seating formation. By the time I began the show, the stage lights glared like noonday sun on a canyon. My spirit sagged, desperate for a cool drink of adrenaline, but the oasis was dry. As I wafted through a hit-and-miss performance, I identified a fatal flaw in my operation. My management activities were directly compromising the art-making itself. Gareth Liddard of The Drones has run the grunge gauntlet of long-haul music touring.
I've had meltdowns. Everyone in my band over the years has... I've been hospitalised. A lot of us have been hospitalised. Yeah, all sorts of mad shit.
Can you like, describe a meltdown?
I have one in Berlin. Can you describe a meltdown?
Just for a laugh.
I was just, we've been touring for like 6 months, which is too long. And we were living in Berlin and I had a bath. I was having a bath and I just, it just started coming out both ends. Let's put it that way. And then I think I lost so much salt I couldn't. My whole body cramped, and I had to go to a hospital. It was sort of near Potsdamer Platz in Berlin, and I swear it was the only place in all Germany where they didn't speak English, this hospital.
No.
So they put me in, a drip, and I stayed overnight, and they did all tests on me and stuff. In the morning, you know, they told me I couldn't drink water. I stank like a homeless man, you know, covered in shit and vomit. Anyway.
Just body malfunctioning.
Yeah, it's just proper meltdown, sort of physical, mental, everything. Yeah. And it was all brought on by a glass of absinthe. But it wasn't necessarily catalyst for an event. Anyway, but they thought, like, I was a homeless guy or something. Yeah. But I was just a touring musician. It's easy
well, you
to
are,
mistake.
You are homeless when you're on tour for 6 months.
Yeah. You can act pretty homeless, yeah.
Being an artist is a two-way street. While much focus is placed on output, there is also the significance of spiritual input. This may come from books, movies, leaving the house. To an artist, holiday sounds like horror day. We can't afford them, and we wouldn't know what to do on them anyway. If your whole identity is wrapped up in art, who are you when you stop?
Yeah, I don't do anything besides work, really.
Functioning workaholic John Safran.
No, this is what I have instead of leisure time, is I have this time, getting knots in my back time when I haven't done the work and I'm stressing out, I'm freaking out. So therefore, I can do that for like a week or 2 weeks. So that's like basically my 2 weeks holiday. Like people go, because they look at the book and how thick it is and they're like, oh, John, you know, don't you want to take a holiday after all that? It's like, yeah, but you weren't there for like the 6 months I was like in my flat walking around in circles going mad.
Playwright Lally Katz.
Social situations to me only make sense if I'm kind of either going, good character, okay, and, you know, nice, oh, okay, you use that word, or you've got that emotion, or if they're with people I'm working with. So it's either like I'm sort of like a vampire. And it's not, I mean, there's 50% of me is kind of human being feeling and interacting in that, but then the other half is always kind of, so I find it hard, is always kind of observing, but so I find it hard to do things in life that aren't related to work, basically, really. I think a lot of artists, like myself included, are afraid of having like a happy long-term relationship and children, because you think, oh, what's going to happen? Am I just going to be sort of part of, am I going to lose myself? But now I kind of think, oh, amazing, like you'd meet all the parents of the other children and you'd kind of like, you'd go to parent teacher night. But then my parents said that I can't have kids just so I can write about them.
In 2012, having run myself and my business well into the ground, I found comfort in boundaries and structure. I no longer kept my phone by my bed and stopped checking emails after 6. I factored in daily exercise and relaxation time. The process was gradual, but I trained the wild stallions of my ambition and cooled the jets of my frantic metabolism.
I mean, you need to be happy to do it. It needs to be a pleasure.
Not work.
Well, there are work aspects of it, which is how you turn it into making a living. But if you stop enjoying it, if it's not a pleasure, a day without some mischief is a wasted day.
Good quote. I slept with myself, I slept my way to the top. Now I'm the boss of me, I'm giving myself a raise. I'm taking out a loan, it's a very low interest to anyone. I'm firing the voice in my head, he's out of touch with the public. Self-hijacking, so last season colours are back. I don't need a degree to be me, but I'd still prefer to defer. Think about it next week. Wrote it all down in a letter and set it on fire and smoked the ashes. Got real high and crashed back down and woke up to myself. I read the last page of my life story, apparently it was all a dream. Pathetic plot device to reinvent
tired narrative. Now they're gonna make the movie. I auditioned for myself. They said I wasn't believable, but I should work closely with the actor regardless. Yeah.
Bedroom philosopher Justin Hazelwood. That song Mantham is on the Fun Employed LP, which releases tomorrow. Also on the soundtrack, the Sydney band Richard In Your Mind.